for us to head to the hotline for the first time today as we bring in our Hollywood guru, Michael Warschauer. Michael, a pleasure as always to have you on with us, and boy, this week especially, with the weather being as awful as it is here in the Midwest, seems like people need something to watch throughout the course of the week, and there are some interesting things I have in my queue to watch on Netflix and on Amazon and beyond, but I want to begin with something that my brother was actually telling me about earlier today. I saw a preview of this last week and thought, eh, looks okay. He told me it was hilarious. So what have you heard about this new Coffee and Kareem movie on Netflix? Heard it was hilarious. What kinds of things are you hearing about it?
I've heard some kind of mixed reviews. You know, it dropped pretty quietly on Netflix, I think last week or the week before. But it has a terrific cast. I mean, Taraji P. Henson, Betty Gilpin, Ed Helms, and the always fantastic David Alan Greer. And it's about a 12-year-old who comes up with a scheme to scare away his mom's new boyfriend, who is Ed Helms, the cop, and it backfires, and they all get exposed to a family secret, or to a secret network of criminal activity. So kind of a wild romp, kind of caper movie. I've heard some mixed things. I think a lot of reviews have said that there are some really funny bits. I've heard a couple things that say, you know, it is a very funny movie, especially right now while you're just sitting at home, starved for entertainment. But it also has a few reviews that say that it's a little crude, a little bit of a kind of story that's been told before in ways that have been told before, a few stereotypes that I think weren't well communicated in the script. But for the most part, I think it's going to be a really fun, entertaining watch. If you like those kind of wacky action comedies, like, this seems like the perfect time to tune into one of those on Netflix when we're all, like I said, starved for that entertainment. So certainly something to check out in quarantine.
You know, I didn't realize David Alan Greer was in that, too. That guy's hilarious, always brilliant, as you mentioned. And Ed Helms, I feel like, is vastly underrated. And I get it. He's not exactly an A-lister. Some will probably tell you maybe he's not even a B-lister either. But I really feel like he doesn't get appreciated the way he should these days. And he's had so many roles that I'm not so sure I would call him brilliant in the comedy world. But they're pretty solid. And I'm not even sure he gets that kind of love.
Yeah, I think he's really underappreciated. I mean, he's a guy, a lot of people forget that his start came on The Daily Show at a time when, like, The Daily Show was producing big-name stars like Steve Carell, Rob Corddry, Stephen Colbert. So he really comes from a great background. And he also has the reputation of being a tremendously nice guy within the business. So I know that he's really well-liked, and I think that his just good nature, good humor has really sent him a long way in being a really consistent face in comedy over the last decade, if not even more. So, yeah, he's definitely one of those guys that maybe he isn't, like you said, an A-lister in the comedy scene, but he's certainly reliable, and you can really fill him into just about any comedic movie or TV show, and he'll be a great addition to it.
Yeah, and Cedar Rapids, one of the movies he starred in. I mean, if you haven't seen that, it's been around for a while. And it's a little bit slow, but man, is it hilarious. And as great as Ed Helms is in Cedar Rapids, John C. Reilly absolutely, positively steals the show in that. So if you're looking for a good one to watch this week, I recommend Cedar Rapids. Great, great stuff. All right. In recent weeks, Michael, we have talked a lot about Tiger King and the great memes that have come as a result, and much like Making a Murderer, there was certainly a lot of talk about maybe they should come out with a second season to give us a little bit more closure. So apparently, there's a Tiger King after show. What should we expect from this after show?
Well, the first thing I would say is not to expect really a lot more answers to any sort of lingering questions you have. This really isn't so much sort of like a second part to the story or even like a missing episode. It's really sort of just a reunion special amongst several of the principal people that were featured in the documentary. It's hosted by Joel McHale, because the comedian and actor. And it basically brings most of the principal people back, with the notable exceptions of Carol Baskin and Joe Exotic himself. And really, more than anything, they kind of tell some, like, behind-the-scenes stories. I know one of the things they mentioned is that Joe Exotic was actually a lot more afraid of the adult big cats that he had in his property than he let on, that he was really good with all of the small ones, and just as soon as they grew to adults, was terrified of them. So there's some little tidbits like that. I think there's a little bit more about, you know, sort of how the documentary and its success at this moment has affected the cast and all the people in it, and kind of gives them a chance to respond to all the conversations we've been having, you know, online and with our friends and whatnot. So it's kind of a fun way to wrap things up, especially if you're just sort of curious what some of the characters on the periphery of the story have been up to and what their response has been. But certainly not something that's going to, you know, change the entire story of Tiger King or give you more answers that you're seeking.
So he was human. He's actually afraid of large cats. I mean, geez, oh man. You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, though, because those who have seen that documentary, you know that I would like to say that in most cases they show him with the tiny little ones. I mean, because at that point, they're pretty harmless, but I mean, you have to be out of your mind to consistently deal with large tigers. Just to know how incredibly dangerous those things are, and those things could tear you up. I mean, no wonder he was scared of those things. I think it's fascinating that we've gotten to a point where people love that thing so much that we want an instant after show. Now, what this thing's going to tell us, as you mentioned, don't get your expectations too high for this thing, but I feel like it ended in a good spot, and there really wasn't much of a need for an after show. But look, right now, people are sitting around at home, and they're looking for something, right? So, I mean, this kind of fills that void, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's sort of what it is. Like, it definitely, I watched just a little bit of it, and it definitely sort of feels like it was sort of thrown together here within the last few weeks. And honestly, I don't blame Netflix or the producers or any of the cast for wanting to do it. I mean, like we've talked about, this thing sort of took off like wildfire. I mean, it really took advantage of, or not took advantage of, it had the advantage of coming out at a time when a lot of people were looking for entertainment. And so this is kind of just another way to you know, bring it all together. Not dissimilar to the way a lot of reality shows like The Bachelor or any of those shows do these sort of wrap-up reunion shows where everybody gets to kind of say their piece. So I think it's really interesting that this has kind of gone from being a docu-series to almost sort of a reality TV show, which is what Joe Exotic wanted in the first place. So it's been a really fascinating thing to kind of keep an eye on over the last few weeks. And it'll be interesting to see how, you know, all of these characters and all of these people involved try and, you know, move on with their careers when all this is over.
Michael, changing gears a little bit here from the big cat expose, a realm of the world, Trolls World Tour landed the biggest digital debut ever. Obviously, you know, no movie theaters right now. Do you think the success of that movie might have future implications in terms of, you know, maybe a movie studio is on the border of maybe we do a theatrical release, maybe we go straight to a streaming service? Do you think this has any future implications in that realm?
I think that it definitely does. I think that this is a situation that is going to really dramatically change the way that we all go to see movies, whether they're big blockbusters or small indies, especially as like a lot of theater chains like AMC, which is the country's largest theater chain, is filing for bankruptcy as a result of the coronavirus and being shut down so long. So there's going to be a lot of changes. I think that it's going to be hard for a lot of studios to fully jump into the transition from, you know, a theatrical release to just doing an online one. There's still so much money that is on the table by having a theatrical release. But I think that you're going to start seeing the window once we get theatrical releases back. I think you're going to see the window between them and going on streaming shrink dramatically. I mean, I know I have several friends that are parents who were just beyond thrilled that Frozen 2 was on Disney Plus a lot earlier, and that the new Pixar movie Onward jumped on there early as well. So I think there's an opportunity, especially as, you know, some big movies maybe are failing at the box office, to just jump straight to video on demand and charge that premium price that we've been seeing with some of these new movies, that $20 just to rent it while it would still be in kind of a theatrical window. But I think a lot depends on how really the national theater chains respond to the crisis. And so, yeah, it's certainly a really, really interesting time for the economics of the movie business, and still a lot to, you know, a lot of moving pieces to see how they fit in here.
We're speaking with Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Shifting gears and talking about remote shows. Saturday Night Live. Want to get your thoughts on the SNL remote show, and is this something you think certainly could work for that show in particular moving forward, or do you think this will be short-lived?
Well, first of all, I thought the show was a lot of fun. I thought it was really one of the highlights of this season of SNL, really one of the better episodes that they've had really in the past few years, not necessarily because of the content itself, but because, you know, it was really just a nice, fun distraction amongst all of this. And it was also kind of funny to see all of these great comedians that, you know, we watch do the marquee sketch show every week kind of improvise from home, and the way that they were working with, you know, their own spaces and their own costumes and cameras and all of that stuff. And they came up with some really creative sketches. There were some really funny things. And most of all, it was just lighthearted and fun enough that I think it kind of could sidestep a lot of the criticisms that SNL gets on a weekly basis. As far as doing it every week, I don't know if it's a weekly thing that's feasible for NBC and for SNL. It seemed like there was a ton of editing involved in it, which is pretty hard to do remotely, and it's kind of hard to just deliver you know, that live show once a week in person. So doing it remotely is even more of a stretch, but I could absolutely see them doing a few more of these and really finding ways to be creative, as a lot of the late night shows have done. Most of the hosts are hosting their shows from their homes, and that's obviously a little bit easier when you have someone who normally is just sitting behind a desk than it is a sketch show. But I think that it's certainly feasible to do, maybe just not the same regularity that we're used to with SNL.
Which is interesting. I have not had the chance to watch this past week's SNL show, but I mean, that's the one show I think of and think, man, could you really pull that off remotely? But you mentioned that they did it and it went off pretty well too. So I'm anxious to see if that's something that they could continue to do moving forward, however long this thing may last. And well, there's something coming out in May, and let's hope that maybe things aren't the way they are 1 month from now. But Steve Carell has a Netflix comedy coming out next month called Space Force. Early indications are that this should be hilarious. What's this all about?
Yeah, this is definitely a show that you don't want to miss when it comes out. It's coming out at the end of May. It sounds fantastic. It was co-created by Steve Carell and the co-creator of The American Office, Greg Daniels. And it's a workplace comedy that's about a remote base in Colorado where a four-star general who got passed up on his dream promotion to be Secretary of the Air Force is now tasked with setting up a new branch of the military, the Space Force, based on real life. Although I think that a lot of the story sort of diverges from real life just off of that conceit. But, I mean, not only do you have Steve Carell returning to doing a comedy series with his old office cohort, you know, working behind the scenes, but it has an incredible cast that includes John Malkovich, Ben Schwartz, and Lisa Kudrow, amongst others. So we haven't seen any trailers yet, but I think this is one of those shows that, like, it's just set up to be great. I mean, you can't really pass up a cast that good. You can't really pass up, you know, the background of that cast. And the crew. So it's one that I'm very, very excited about. So far, we've only gotten to see a few pictures from the production, nothing you know, showing what the show will actually be like, but it's certainly one to stay very excited for.
So we had talked at the very beginning of the interview today about how the Coffee and Kareem movie got a very soft release. I don't know that you could necessarily do that with a movie like this that has so much star power. I'd like to think that we'll get a few, more than just a few stills here, right? There should be some sort of a trailer dropping relatively soon, shouldn't there?
Definitely. I think that, you know, there haven't been any noted delays in sort of the release schedule that Netflix has had on track with it because of the coronavirus. So I imagine, just based off of the way that Netflix operates, We'll probably see a trailer for it maybe within about a month of it coming out, if not even a few weeks before. That's kind of their MO a lot of the time, is just to sort of say, hey, we have this new show dropping in like 10 days. So it's not necessarily unusual for Netflix, but certainly a show this high profile at a time when everyone's just waiting to find something new to watch. I would say that maybe we'll see some more promotion for it in advance because of that. But otherwise, Netflix tends to be a little bit delayed on releasing their trailers like that.
All right. Well, Michael, we've come to that point in the interview. We need this week's Picks to Click. What should we be watching throughout the course of the week and into the weekend as well?
Well, the good news is there are three new shows that are premiering this week that are pretty notable. The first one coming out on Wednesday on Netflix is a show called Outer Banks. It's about a teenager that enlists his three best friends to hunt for legendary treasure linked to his father's disappearance. This one is sort of in the vein of a lot of teen dramas like Riverdale, but has a mystery element to it, and has gotten some pretty good early buzz. There's also on Hulu and FX, there's a new show this Wednesday called Mrs. America. It's the story of the movement to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment and the unexpected backlash led by Phyllis Schlafly. And this has just an insane cast. Kate Blanchett, Rose Byrne, Uzo Aduba, Sarah Paulson, Margot Martindale, and more. That is going to be one of the big prestige shows to check out. And last but not least, on Netflix on Friday is a new show called Black AF. It stars Blackish creator Kenya Barris. He takes a starring role alongside Rashida Jones. It's a comedy about a man taking on an irreverent and honest approach to parenting and relationships. So a lot of good excuses to stay in and watch TV this week.
Indeed. Lots of great stuff to watch throughout the weekend, into the weekend indeed. Michael, as always, we appreciate the insight. We appreciate the time. And we'll look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Michael. Much appreciated. That's Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.